Right now, we are going to get an update. We're going to be speaking to our representative in Hartford, and that is Maria Horn, who has agreed to join us this morning. Maria, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for having me on. I, small correction, your representative in Hartford no longer goes to Hartford.
That's right. That's right. You're sheltering at home.
I am, yes.
All right. So, it's interesting. When Roberta Willis was first elected, I'm pretty sure she came in to the state legislature after we had the big crash at the stock market and things were in great upheaval. Well, this is your first term as our representative, and a pandemic has hit and has actually created as much, if not more, havoc than that. Quite a lot on the plate of not only you and the other legislators in the state.
Indeed. I mean, I have an intern this term whose experience has turned out rather differently than she expected. And I remember early on when we were first hearing about the coronavirus, she was in my office and she asked me, do you think this will affect, you know, the working of the legislature going forward? And I looked at her, I thought, no, just minorly. And of course, she's 100% right. It has completely, radically changed the way we were operating. And that is actually one of the things that I've been trying to talk about, just so that people understand basically how Connecticut government is functioning right now and the difference between the federal and the state and the local, you know, because we don't have county government in Connecticut. And so it's either the town or it's the state. And right now, because the legislature can't function as it is designed to function, which is as an in-person collective body, that is why everything, you know, you're hearing from the governor every day, because he does have the executive authority to act within the resources that he has. And he also, in some ways, you know, the governors have police power, so they can act for the health and welfare and safety of citizens in ways that actually the president can't. Now, the feds, on the other hand, have resources and money, and that's very much a part of that conversation, too. So,
and I guess the communication between the state and the federal government, I mean, it's become very, very apparent when you see Mario Cuomo on TV, and you even see the president on TV talking about their interactions back and forth with so many financial demands on the states as it sets. Government help is federal government help is just an absolute must, is it not?
Oh, it's an absolute must. I mean, the state does not have the financial resources to really make a difference in lives, and which is why we are trying to, you know, advocate through the governor and through, you know, our federal delegation, of course, that what this crisis needs is, you know, resources in the hands of the people who are most affected by it, which is to say people who, you know, as of a few weeks ago were solidly financially stable and now are teetering on the edge because we are shutting down the economy temporarily to shut down this virus. So we really do need, I mean, the federal government has vast resources that we just don't have as a state, and they also have a stockpile of personal protective equipment and things that we also need that we have been requesting. So we hope that request will be, we are starting to get that shipment from the federal government, which is good. And I know that for now, Sharon Hospital, for example, is okay with respect to personal protective equipment, or PPE, as we're all learning new acronyms. But we have to stay ahead of that.
What's interesting, hearing you talk about federal help, I was on the phone with Rick Cantelli from Salisbury Bank and Trust yesterday. We, as a nonprofit, operate this radio station, and we have underwriters. And, of course, I would say 50% of those underwriters have changed the way they do business, and we are giving those underwriters absolutely free rein to announce what they need to announce without any charges. And when underwriters don't have, we had one underwriter already call in and say that they'd have to cancel their underwriting. We said, well, we'll leave it on. We will credit you beginning next month so you don't have to pay. but you need to get your messages out, so we'll leave you on. I was speaking to Rick Cantelli, and I said, is there any help for not only regular business owners, private business owners, or corporations, but for the nonprofits? I was reading yesterday. I mean, you've got the Warner Theater, you've got art galleries, you've got all these nonprofits like us that have budgets that have to be met, that have rents and electric payments and stuff that have to be met. And it's literally with us, it's tens of thousands of dollars over the course of a couple of months. You think the federal government will come through to help out small businesses and nonprofits like ours and also the theaters and the dance companies around?
Well, that is certainly part of, you know, we're all following the conversation at the federal level. That is certainly part of the conversation to make sure, because one of the early bills did not. They cut out nonprofits. And we have to make sure that's not the case because, first of all, I mean, a lot of these nonprofits, you know, they either are caring for the most vulnerable people in our population or, you know, Robin Hood Radio that is providing a critical communication, regional communication, or you take the arts organizations. Those are a big part of our economy. So they play all kinds of important roles, and I am heartened that our delegation, certainly in Washington, is advocating to make sure that they are included in that picture, because they are really picking up the slack. As you just suggested, we are keeping up our ties with organizations in all kinds of different ways and giving people slack, you know, during this period so that we can continue to communicate with one another and you know, identifying need. I mean, I hear from people, from individuals and nonprofits every day, both on the desperate need end and on the we have resources and we want to help end. And we've got to, you know, protect them.
You know, it's interesting. People say, as a small, we've been around 12 years now, and when you include the Bargain Barn, we employ 7 people full time. Now, yeah. That's just us. We're just a tiny, tiny little, and those 7 people now are not making any money. It's the ripple effect of something like this, especially on the state of Connecticut, where our financial health is borderline anyways. It impacts us as much as any place else.
The ripple effect is profound, and what's, you know, this is different than, you know, in 2008, an economic downturn, which was, you know, driven by other issues.
Yeah,
we are. This is intentional.
Yeah.
We are shutting this down intentionally. So it's not just a question of building up demand and job creation. We have to find a way to sort of hold steady during this period and take care of people's most basic needs so that, you know, all of these organizations are around whenever we make it through to the other side.
Now, when do you think you'll go back in session? What are the tentative dates for you to be able to assemble together in Hartford? Is there one?
There isn't one, really. So what's happening is, I mean, we just got word, you know, our official extension of, you know, or being out of session was through March 30th. That's just been extended through April 20th or something like that. So what is being discussed essentially, and this is very much as we've just discussed in conversation or in, you know, watching what's happening at the federal level, we also understand that the state needs to do something as well, and we're trying to figure out what that is. And so the issue is, you know, right now, this has to be done at a, you know, a bipartisan basis, because however we proceed is going to be a compromise procedure. So conversations largely have been happening between the four caucuses, which is to say the House and the Senate and the Republicans and the Democrats, to make sure that we have, you know, maybe we send legislators in, you know, batches of 10 every hour or half hour or something like that, so that we vote. You know, that's very cumbersome, so we're obviously not going to do that on a whole bunch of bills. That means that will necessarily mean that it is focused probably on one omnibus bill, but we don't have a date for what that is. I do know that there are constant conversations going on between the governor's office and our leadership. In effect, I have one of those calls to discuss that today.
All right, we're speaking with Maria Horn, our representative, soon to be again in Hartford. We hope
someday.
For people that want to get a hold of you, Maria, what's the easiest way if they have questions of your office to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me, I would say, is my state email, and it's kind of funny because I have a lot of people saying, "Well, do you have your personal email? You know, maybe I can reach your personal email." I don't. My state email gets a lot more attention than my personal email does. So my state email is maria.horn@cga.ct.gov. There's also my office phone, which is 860-240-8585. That is getting forwarded to my aide, who's also working from home. Or you can call myself, which is 860-671-1026.
And also, I know that you post a lot of updates on Facebook as well. So if people are members of Facebook, they can also get information from your Facebook page as well. Correct?
Yes, and thank you for that. There are two ways that I am putting out information, basically, which is one is on my state Facebook page, which I try to post, you know, regular timely updates, graphics, and things like that. And I also send out, I have been for the last year and a half, a weekly newsletter, which is now no longer weekly. It is now daily, at least during the week. I try to give my aides who help me with that a break on weekends because they have other obligations and other reps they work for. But you can sign up for that. That now goes out to about 2,500 people in the district. And as you know, a lot of people in our district are not on social media. So it's a really helpful way to reach them. And I try to balance that into, you know, usable information, timely, accurate, helpful information. And so you can sign up for that by going to my state website.
I've got that, housedems.ct.gov/Horn. So
that's correct. You can sign up for my email newsletter on my website. Small note that anyone who goes on my website will note that it is really out of date, and that is because we were hacked some time ago, and a number of us have had technical issues with the site. So I haven't been using that as a way to post up to date information, but it is a good way to sign up for the newsletter. And on that, another really important thing I wanted to emphasize today is there's a lot of dubious information that's getting, particularly on social media, that gets circulated. I have people in the best of intentions sending me questionable information, you know, every day. And I just urge everybody to make sure you go to the source, go to the, you know, the CDC website, go to the Connecticut Department of Public Health, or any Connecticut government website will direct you to the coronavirus up-to-date information. Really, really be careful about where you're getting your information.
All right. And when we post this interview up, people can go to robinhoodradio.com, click on interviews, find this interview. It's right at the top with Maria Horn. All those links will be available on this interview as well, which we will also post up. Maria, good luck. Stay safe, and hope you get back to Hartford very, very, very soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Marshall. Same to you and to everyone listening.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Maria Horn, our representative in Hartford this morning here on Robin Hood.